the visit Mr. Weaver this Sunday after supper, the 5th of March, 72. Channel 2 over, beginning to visit Mr. Weaver this 5th of March, Channel 2 over, visit Mr. Weaver, Channel 5th of March, 72.
Quick, you know, and I went down there in the dark, walked around in the dark, you know, and run my dogs. My dogs never did have it. I used to have mine vaccinated. You know what they're using for that? I had a friend that helped them vaccinate a long time. They use salty water, and that don't do a bit of good.
Well, anyway, they really are.
They get that started out. It's that money they're getting out.
And let that go.
$2 to vaccinate them. That's why they do that. And deer hunters want to get rid of the fox and have nothing but deer that are to run.
Oh, yeah.
All of that kind of stuff, they pull that, and the veterinary makes big money.
Huh?
Up here at Macon Open, the veterinary makes 100, I've known them make one in 4 hours, make $180.
Huh?
Veterinary made that money.
Yes, they make money.
And that's why they get these rabies started. They're trying to get it started down here. It's the deer hunters
well,
that's into
anyway,
it.
The old foxes are getting all of our egg woman's chickens, and that they can't catch them.
Yeah, a lot of times it's two legged foxes getting them too.
Well, they've seen the foxes.
Well, you see
foxes.
Seems
like that they can't catch you. No. So we haven't gotten any eggs now in some time from our woman that we get.
I tell you
from.
Now, I've got a bobcat up there at the house, a wild bobcat in the cage.
Ooh.
And I'm going to tell you one thing. Now, they'll really eat your chickens and eggs.
Oh,
the
wild cat.
What you doing with a bobcat up there?
Why? Well, people see it. It's never seen one. I got one alive up there in the cage. And
okay.
A friend of mine caught it.
What
trap.
Would you ever do with a wild cat when you always catch them like that?
You never use the fur.
You
it?
Never use the
my
fur.
My dogs kill them. I leave them alive now in the woods.
Yeah. Well, they just kill them. You couldn't use fur.
Well, about a dollar is most anyone that you can sell for any of them any time of year. A dollar a piece for a fur of a wild cat. Well, 50 cents next time. And,
well, I didn't know that. I didn't know what that would be worth.
But hey, you see, they got such a tax on fur coats and Florida coons. When I was in business, you know, I was paying $5 or $6 a large coon eye from one or two coons, just counting that way. By 100 at a time, 200, 300. Sometimes I'd buy 500 coons in a day, hide, buying some other different buyers, you know.
Yeah.
And, I'd have orders that they'd give me so much for them, you see, and I'd go out and buy out a lot of the dealers cheaper than I'd go around and pick up a few at a time. And they add a tax on them, then they put a 20% luxury tax on them. And the manufacturer told them, said that would make coons coats cost so high people won't buy them. Said, we'll have to change it now. And that put me out of business.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, sir. Mr. Weaver.
Well,
trim me up a little bit, please, sir.
I think I've got apron in here. I say I've got apron in here.
He's got a shirt on.
That makes it a little easier.
He's got a shirt right here, Mr. Weaver.
No, let me put this on there. See,
it's
I can get something away.
I'll get it down out of your way.
Yeah, now he's got it. Yeah.
I'm just trying to save you time.
Okay.
I never saw anybody who had so particularly about his time.
Well, I don't sleep much, and if I don't go to sleep about the same time, then I won't get any rest, you know. That
oh!
I have to have about the same time to go to bed at night. If I sit up till I get on my sleep spell, I won't sleep a bit that night, just lie and roll.
Why, Mr. Weaver?
Yeah. I don't like to tell all these things, you know, but sometimes people don't understand it, and I have to.
I got this now.
Well,
I think anybody.
Okay.
I think anybody is like that, though. If I think I'm that way, if I get past my sleepy time.
Well, sometimes if I won't try to make myself sleep, wait till I set up till I get sleepy, I can get by with it. But other times I can't.
Why don't you just leave it alone?
It's funny, after I lie down, about 3 or 4 hours, seems like something starts right here and it comes right up here and gets a crowd and I can't breathe. And all my blood comes up my body and I can't.
No, you're looking right at
it. My heart's not strong enough to push it through.
Yeah.
And I get up in the morning, my legs like supposed to be in as large as they will be at night when
Is that right?
He goes down there and my body gets back small. Now I get up in the morning, I look a whole lot fuller than I do right now. All my blood's back up in here.
And see, I didn't turn that light up.
I think it, let's see, I better turn it up a little bit. That turns right straight up, doesn't it? Pulls up?
The neck.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Just use the neck, Mr. Weaver. Just do the neck.
Oh, well, that's what I thought, but I didn't get a hold of it. That was hot, and I couldn't hold it.
Well, you didn't have to touch that, just get the neck.
Now.
Just like a goose.
You want to cut kind of like I did before?
Well, now, wait a minute. I want you to cut these off now. Just thin them a little bit.
Thin them.
And very little.
I didn't thin them much before, but did I thin them too much for the last time?
Well, you always thin them too much.
I'll not thin them so bad.
Yeah.
I'll leave a little bit longer.
Yeah.
That's what I want you to do is thin them, then I'll...
Sure.
I know we used to didn't do that, but last summer we got to cutting it off on account of so hot.
Yeah, it feels so good when it's all cut off.
It feels so much better, especially
so much better.
In wintertime, you don't notice it much.
Yeah.
But I tell you, we can't have him looking so different, Mr. Weaver.
Oh, he just wants to go on and let it grow out and quit counting his hair cut. Be a hippie.
Yeah.
Well, I don't believe I can stand that now.
I don't believe we can either. No, sir.
I don't think I'll ever be able to stand that. You be still.
Mr. Weaver, I don't see your neighbor hardly ever anymore over there.
Which
working
one?
On cars.
Who's that, Buster?
Yes.
Well, he was little in the afternoon, fit around now. Night, have it open.
Yeah. But he don't have cars sitting around there like he used to.
Well, they're getting after him by setting them out on the street, you know. Put birds from out of business. They had so many old cars down there and it's too close to the highways. And they're getting on Buster, and Buster's having to move a lot of his. And they're fixing to get a whole roll of it. I don't know whether he let me keep my old car in the yard or not.
In your yard?
Yeah.
Well, what in the world? Why wouldn't you be able to keep it in your yard?
They're going to make you clean up the town.
Boy,
I bet they got 500 old cars, or maybe more, and making over.
Yeah.
Not cleaning up enough around. It's just like me, you know, yesterday I got back from Gainesville. I got out there. I've been letting the weeds stay on account of if it comes to freeze, it kills my grass. And I like to got it killed it all last year. I went and mowed it too quick and got the weeds off of it. And this year I didn't, but I started yesterday afternoon mowing my yard. And I've got to mow them and get all that weeds down to let my grass grow now. Maybe it won't come another freeze this year.
I don't see any use of mowing this early, Mr. Weaver.
My weeds is knee high, right down in my yard.
Well, can't you got one of them little slings that you can use?
I've got a sling blade, but you know I can run my mowing machine. And you know I went out there and I've had it 2 years. When I bought it second hand, and you know I went out there and cranked it up, and I've been cranked since last year.
Oh, that's something.
it's been before. I've been having to put a new spark plugs in there.
Yeah.
Or clean, take it out and clean it. You can take them out and clean them. And, but this year, I didn't have to do that.
Yes, sir. Well, you don't get around like you used to. You was on the road a whole lot then, wasn't you?
Oh, yes, I was on the road for 90 days in the fur business. Then when it was over, I was in the produce business, wasn't in the barbershop.
Yeah. And then before you come down here, you all went over to Arkansas to pick cotton, and then you went over there to...
Get that straight. I didn't go to Arkansas to pick cotton.
Well, Buck then.
Yeah. I went to Arkansas to hunt out there in 1919 where my brother-in-law lived.
Yeah. That's a pretty good trip then.
Yeah. Now you think about me staying a month out there.
And you went clear on over there to the Washita River.
On the other side of Hot Springs.
Yes.
You know where that is, don't you?
Yeah. I've been over there.
You ever been up the forks of that river down in there where it forks just above the main highway going south?
Yeah.
Right in there's where I treated a big house cat one night and never did find nothing else.
Yeah.
Way back 3 or 4 miles back in there.
Yeah.
My dogs never had run a house cat before. I didn't know it.
Yeah.
But they couldn't find nothing else to run and went tree and house cat.
Mr. Weaver, let me tell you, every now and then we have a visitor here at night and he gets excited. And it comes in our window and just as strong as it can be. Now, what is it to excite them little skunks?
Little skunks?
Yes.
Well, they're hungry, they're feeding, and they get out like that, and I'll have them come up there and my dog just race, and people give me the devil the next morning, and a skunk come around. I went around close to all my dogs around there. And I got out there, and I kept on disturbing. I shot 3 or 4 times, and I couldn't hold my flashlight and see the skunk enough to kill it.
I can't do that either.
I can take a light on my head and shoot it out there, but I can't hold a light and shoot this way. I can't do it to save my life.
I can't do that. And I can't point a gun at anything and hit it.
Just throw it this way, I can. That's the way I use a shotgun mostly. And I can do a rifle that way pretty good. I used to do a lot of squirrel duck hunting, things like that.
Well, let me tell you, out there at Fort Smith, we had skunks come up there all the time. And usually, you know, you didn't hear a thing from them. But every now and then, they'd get excited.
If they get scared or get excited, then they really
and
excited.
You know, it'd take a month or two for that odor to die down. It was so strong. Oh. I got used to the skunk odor then. I got so I rather liked it.
Didn't it take you to it?
No. But I don't know anything to excite this little fella here.
I can't do it either. Just kill him. The only way you can do it. I used to make good money when I was a kid. I caught those black ones up in North Alabama in some years, you know, and they sold them for $5.50 a piece, the hides.
Mm-hmm.
I made good money then. That's where I bought all my clothes with my dogs, and back when I was working for Dad on the farm. Take my dogs out and hunt a little while at night and catch them. Set out a few steel traps, you know, and find their den, you know, and set out a few steel traps and catch them.
Well, I don't want to kill him. I don't mind smelling the. I like the odor.
I don't mind the old scent from them.
Yeah,
if it stayed there a long time, it's not,
yes.
Not so good. Let me, I just cut that, I better cut that off.
The old scent. I'd prefer an old scent.
See, now you don't want to get any of the top. That was good last time, Mr. Weaver.
Well, I'm going to trim this just a little around here.
Yeah.
Those little skunks.
Now the white ones, I only got $1 a piece for them when I was getting 5.5 for the black ones.
Yeah.
White ones?
Yeah. Well, it's practically white. They all of them had a little black on them.
Huh.
Broad stripes, and they wasn't solid white. Short stripes, like the dollar, bring as much as a black one when it's a black skunk.
Yes, sir. Did I tell you this? Let me tell you. I went down there to get Fred, you know, Fred down here at the junkyard to put a tailpipe on for me. And, no, I haven't seen you since then. And a dog come along there, and he says that dog saved him money. He said, right there where that dog was standing, he got a nigger to see the britches.
Nigger stealing?
Yeah. And, no, this is what it was. There was a truck there that wasn't there when I was there before. And it belonged to that Williams truck well drilling place.
Mm-hmm, down out towards Citra on Citra Road.
No, it's right down there on 441.
Oh, is he, well, of course, that Williams, he may have moved up there, but that Williams used to be down there between Citra and... this may be another Williams, though.
Well, it may be. Well, anyhow, he had that truck in there, and I said to him, that looks like a pretty good truck. He says that ain't any good. He says the front end's out. And he says, I put in a transmission on this same truck, and I put the rear end in two or three times. Well, I said, I guess he has to have a number of trucks. He says he's got 20. And this is what happened, Mr. Weaver. Them boys he's got working for him there, if something goes wrong, they just step on the gas and tear out the transmission.
They don't care.
They don't care. I said, you mean he got rough necks like that these days working for him? Well, now, he didn't answer that.
Yeah, he hated to.
He said back up in Georgia, when he was working up there, he was sawmilling. And they had some of those boys working for him, and he says if they asked him to work on Saturday and they didn't want to, all they'd do was
take
that's right. Take that little cart and let it run into the saw and bust the saw up and take them a half a day or a day to fix it. Now, how about that?
Yeah, a lot of boys do that. Now, they didn't used to do that so bad. They got fired if something went wrong too much.
Yeah.
But now then, and you know people talking about being so many out of work and can't get work to do. Now listen,
Yeah. Anybody
at work can get a job. Now I don't care who he is, I never have seen a time I couldn't get one.
Yeah.
Because I can get one
you
right now.
You could get 16 right now.
Right now. There are people want me to do carton work for them, but I just can't work but an hour or two at a time and then just do half what I ought to do in an hour. Mm-hmm. And I'll take some little petty jobs and that's all. And the jobs where I can take my time or quit and work when I get ready.
But now those rough fellas.
Well, they don't care, you see. They're just looking out for themselves. Well, that's the reason they get out there and get such a reputation that a while they can't get a job.
You reckon?
Well, sure. You people find out that would you hire me if I wouldn't work? Would you let me cut my hair if I'd mess your hair up just for meanness? Would you let me cut it again?
Well, I was just thinking now.
That's the way I looked at it.
I was just thinking. There, all them roughnecks still there, Mr. Weaver. I thought the roughnecks was all gone.
Dude, they're getting worse now since you got this child labor law and all that catch. You can't correct them. teachers can't correct the children, and the bus drivers can't do nothing to them on the bus like they used to. You used to use the bus drivers to make them be quiet back there and ride and be decent, but they can't do it now. They'll have you arrested for that now. I wouldn't how. Well, you couldn't give me those kind of jobs. I wouldn't teach school for nobody now if I knew how.
Or drive a bus?
No, that's two things I wouldn't want to mess with.
But there's a lot of people that have to fool with it.
Well, they don't care. They just let the kids go. They don't pay no attention to them.
Yeah.
Some people just have to let them go. I was talking to one of the art teachers up there in Gainesville, you know. And I asked him about that. He said the only thing you can do is walk over and let them go.
Just let them tear down.
Yes, he said if you let it worry, he said it'd run you crazy. What did it do up at school?
Now you didn't run into them rough ones when you was up there.
Where
in Alabama?
Rough what?
Like Fred is talking about, bust up his saw and things like that.
Oh, no, I never did sawmill, but just a little bit work for the other man, you see. Mm. But I had to work. Now, I'd put in, if it didn't, they'd pay you off and say, if I need you, I'll let you know. That's just what they do. Give you a pay on that night and say, if I need you anymore, I'll let you know. And he didn't come back no more.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way you fired him.
Oh, yeah.
I seen the fellas up there in Tennessee go off a job just out of the way. He called him off, said, I want to talk to you a minute. He'd reach him his money, said, if I need you, I'll let you know. And they never did come back on the job no more.
And that's when he was getting rough and things like that?
That's when he didn't work or didn't do what they said to.
Yeah.
And now then, they'll talk back to you, but they didn't talk back to you.
They talk back to you and bust up your stuff.
Yeah, they didn't do that then. Those fine fellas I worked for up in Tennessee. I didn't work with about 5 or 6 months up there. But they were really good men to work for, but you had to work now.
So you better get that stuff finished in there before.
Okay.
Or else you're going to not get it off the mail. I haven't run across any real roughnecks, so, Mr. Weaver. I think on these gangs, like picking oranges, they just as soon bust up stuff as not.
I've never been around that much on just driving
past
the
light.
I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
But I imagine they do that. Some of them does that on that.
Buster runs into so many things, you know. And he gets around so much. I'd like to follow him around someday and just see.
Play with him, see what all he does.
What all he does get mixed up in.
Maybe he wouldn't let you know about it, what he's really looking for. He wouldn't know nothing about it.
That's right. No, that's right. He wouldn't know.
He wouldn't tell you.
He wouldn't tell you. He wouldn't tell you much of it, would he?
He don't even tell you anything. He's going to just go ahead and you carry you around for a blind and go back.
Yeah.
Buster's pretty slick.
He's a pretty slick customer. And he's been at it a long time. Now, you haven't seen old Do Funny, Mr. Weaver. Old Jack.
Old Jack?
Yeah.
Jack's down here at Orange Lake. I've seen him. He come around the house here about two or three weeks ago. First time he'd been around now since way before Christmas. He come right down and he went over to see Frank and stopped by. He and his wife and said they didn't have a stove to cook on. There isn't anything down there. I'd been cooking on the fireplace and just any way they could. And I had no kerosene stove, would cook a little bit. I'd give him that. It wasn't any good much. I says,
Harker.
He was waiting till he could get his gas cut, and he had a gas stove, but didn't have nowhere cooking. I told him, I said, why didn't you come see me, Jack? I says, my hot plate, you can take this old hot plate down there, and if you want to work on it a little bit, he'll cook for you. I don't think you had a light cut in then. Well, he's moved to down at Orange Lake.
Oh, you mean he's left up that Micanopy?
Yeah, the fellow that owned the place come back from down south where he was and wanted his place, he moved back up here. And he wanted his place, you see, and Jack let him have it, he had to let him have it back. Where he's renting it from him. Now bend over.
Well, how did I think that Jack owned that?
Well, he was aimed to buy it, try to get the federal government if the boys let him decide to sell it to him.
Yeah.
But he went down and bought another place, and it cost him too much money, and he turned and let it go back. He don't come back and kept this one up here. He was going to let Jack have.
Oh. Mr. Weaver, that's a nice place over there.
Where Jack is at?
Yes.
It's not so much. It's one of Jim Walden houses.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it ain't too much.
Well, I didn't know it was.
Jack and them just painted and cleaned it up when they moved there. They painted all on the inside and done some work on the inside. Mm-hmm. And Jack did.
Well, was him and his wife getting along all right?
I reckon so, for what I know. I ain't heard of them all fussing.
Orange Lake, what did they have to move way down there for?
Well, a fella, Ashmore, had a place down there, and he is working somewhere else, you know, and too far to drive, and he had another place, I reckon, after his daddy died up here towards Gainesville. And he took that and let Jack have it down there. They got Jack to move down there to that one and take care of it for him.
Oh. Well, now, what Ashmore is that? That's not the paper man.
Paper man's brother. But his brother, the one that was on one arm and was taking it, I think he turned it over to his brother.
Oh. Well, now, the paper man's brother, he's pretty well to do, Sweeper.
I don't know. I don't even know him.
You don't know him?
No.
Well, he's retired from up there.
Up at the university?
Yeah, and he got a string of horses and a lot of property over there?
I think he's put well to do, better to do than the other. Well, this place he had down at Orange Lake, and Jack told me he wasn't going to charge him anything for taking care of it for him and keeping it up. He's doing some work down there for him, painting.
Oh, really? Well, if old Jack can keep straight, he'll be all right.
Old Jack had to quit drinking. He's a nice fella.
He won't quit very long at a time, though, will he?
I don't look like it.
You know, they do keep that up, Mr. Weaver, until they are all eat out. They haven't got good sense anymore. Now, Jack's been at it long.
Oh,
time.
Jack's been at it till it's been him bad.
Yes.
And he gets to drink it. He's not like Jack Carradine used to be. He used to be.
Yeah. Does he still work up at the university?
Yeah, I reckon so. And his wife works up there at the medical center, I believe it is.
Oh, don't tell me.
I believe it's over at the government place. Medical center, but that other place over there, the government, what do they call it?
Oh, the veterans.
Veterans Hospital. I believe his wife works there.
Oh, gee. She ought to make good money then.
Jack said she'd make more than he was.
Yeah. Oh, gee, it'd be nice if they could just get a little ahead, wouldn't it?
Yeah. If they'd ever get started to saving and trying to, they could soon have my home.
Yeah.
You've got to start and try.
Yeah.
I like my brother talking about me and my dogs, you know. He never would spend no money, anything like that, me and my oldest brother, but when we caught in the first, he got half of it. But
yeah.
He did, and he got credit of not being a hunter, you know, and we done more work than he did, and And done hunting too. See, we was hunting while he was asleep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he said. He said you all could hunt all night and go to work the next morning.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I've spent money on dogs and all like that, but I'll tell you, they've helped me too.
Yeah.
But I'm not able to hunt now, and I can't stand it, and I got no place to hunt and train them. I'd be raising dogs. I could make more money raising dogs now and training them than I could can work it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've got no place to hunt.
Yeah. You got to train them.
Yeah.
Does old Jim Means ever spend any money, Mr. Weaver?
I don't think on what he has to.
On what he has to.
I don't know. He may spend a lot more than I know.
When he comes over and lets you trim his hair, he just brings you a half a dozen oranges.
No, he gives me money just like anybody else.
He does.
He don't give as much as you do. You always try to give me too much.
I just give you what's charging down.
Well, that's what it costs me to get mine cut. That's right. But
yeah. But
you won't let me pay some of these good things you do back, and I like to pay you back.
Well, you pay them back all the time. Yeah.
I try. I want to, and you won't let me. You always make me take something for what
let
I do.
Let me tell you, you talk about talking now. Some of the finest talk I ever heard in this country, old Jim Means.
Jim Means can talk.
Over there at Buster's, sitting back there with that cigar.
Yeah.
When I first come down here, he was in good humor all the time, Mr. Weaver.
Well, he's had it rough, and he don't feel good. Jim's worked hard.
Yes.
And that's on that ladder like
he still works.
$18-$20 a day. Now, he makes maybe $25-$30 some days now. And I don't know where it's going up. It may not be up enough to be that. But he picks that many, that much, he works that much every day, standing on that ladder and holding the
yeah.
Well, you know, Jim's failing fast.
Oh, he did talk. And you know, one of the finest things I ever heard him talk about, I'd love to hear him talk about it. I'm not on his list anymore, you see. He don't pay attention to me.
He don't talk to nobody much anymore, like he does. He don't feel good, and he's trying to make this another year or two. He said he hadn't got enough he could live on. Said he's having to work.
And he talking over that one time, you see, about paying taxes to keep all these shenanigans going. You see,
yeah.
That the government pays money for.
That's right.
And the last thing he said he wanted to do was make enough money where he had to pay enough tax to do all that. And he talked about that, and I'd love to hear that again. Get him to telling about that sometime, Mr. Weaver, and get it straight for me. But what he did was, he just worked so much, and then he let her go. He wasn't going to work enough. Where he had to get up there and pay taxes for all this foolishness.
Oh, save up enough money to
yes.
do that. Well,
nice.
you can't work, but you see, a lot of times, you know, lots of part of that, a whole lot of time in summer and part of time in the winter, he don't have any oranges picked, and a lot of times he don't pick a half a day, maybe one or two days a week, you see. Well, that about pay his expenses.
Yes.
And he's trying to save up some, so if he needs it, of course, Jim may have a little saved up, but he hasn't got much. He got beat out of all his father's hand.
Yeah. And he hadn't made enough to save money.
Not since then. Jim used to take off a whole lot and play baseball.
Yeah.
He used to play a whole lot. We played. I took off. I drove to the barbershop. Wednesday afternoon,
yeah.
Thursday afternoon. Go and play baseball. It make me so sore to get out of that barbershop and play baseball.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't bother me so bad if I wasn't standing behind a barber chair. But I played the last of sore I could on the top of my shoes.
Well, you know, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, old Jim Means knows this whole country. Now, this land here I've got, he knows more about what this land will grow than I'll ever know.
Oh, yeah, Jim. See, he all that bait, but not that garage right over yonder. See, Jim's daddy and on that, and his mother, when he died, his mother, Mike Bateman,
yeah,
farmed it and
yeah,
for him, and he sold all the cabbage and
yeah,
got enough money and bought it from his wife.
Yeah.
Then turned in and borrowed the money back from her and beat her out of it.
Yeah, that's something.
They, now they done Jim that way.
Yeah. Well, I, let me tell you, Mr. Weaver.
Lawyers help
them do it.
Do that.
Let me tell you.
Uh huh.
But you know, people used to be more. They weren't suspicious. And somebody could come up, you see, and take advantage of it before you knew what was happening. You know that?
Yeah.
People, you remember that? People
well,
all through the country. You could go up there and tell them anything. They'd believe it.
Well, you take, people used to be a lot honest than they are now.
Yes.
They, you take now, then they just let them, they're teaching them in some schools to go ahead and talk back to the father and mother. They don't have to. Well, you take pranks, little children, when they start the school, come back over there, you know, and it's just as nice they could be and come over and enjoyed having them.
Mm-hmm.
Now then, they'll just argue with you or anything since the start of school.
Yes.
And you know what they told me? Said, we don't have to do what you say to do. I said, you have to go home and go right now.
Yeah.
And I said, now, I give the other ones, the other ones hadn't started school, I give them their money like I give them some to buy them a drink every week, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe 5, 10 cents, you know, or now it'd be 50.
Yeah.
I used to give them that. And they got talking back to them. I said, there's your money. I won't ever give you any more.
You know, I wish,
that way.
When you first come, I wish we'd gone on back there where the cows are and sprinkle them a little bit. I want you to see them. Them's the prettiest calves I've had out here in Right Smart while. That's a good bull, Mr. Weaver.
Well, listen, I think you had a warm winter.
Yes, that's...
That has a lot to do with it, too. That's all grace that you have been having. Did you know that?
Yes, that's right.
And the calves, and the cows didn't breed.
That's right. And the cows.
But now I'll put you next to something. Be careful about getting those cows that's red too fast. That's where you lose your cow and your calf sometimes, being too fast. Keep those when they, keep them in good, strong health, but let them, don't let them get as poor as a lot of people got them get.
Yeah.
But let them get down to medium. And when you bring the calves, then go to feed them again, and your calf will grow just as good, and your cow will get fatter, get fat back up again.
Yeah.
And bringing the calf will hurt them so bad. A cow too fat, a lot of, you lose them a lot of times.
Yeah.
Always have been that way, ever since I can remember. Cow too fat. This hair, till it gets growed out, just sticks up by a little too much.
Yeah.
I believe I'm going to have, if I cut it off, it'll never get lying back down too much.
Yeah, that's trouble.
You'll have to get you some glue from glue.
My hair is bad right there.
Yeah, and it sticks right straight out.
You know, the only fella I ever saw.
Mine right here on this side, They never cut it right, never get it right, but this side, it's easy work.
Yeah.
One thing called, I used to part my hair on this side.
This one barber is the only barber I ever saw that could always make that behave.
Well, he put something on it.
No,
he?
Sir.
He didn't?
No, sir.
Not dampening it never nothing?
No, sir. You know the one I mean, I told you about
it. Well, it was out a whole lot longer when I used to cut it, and it was a lot back.
Well, yeah, he didn't cut it quite that short.
Well, you see,
Hugh Edge.
Hugh Edge up there in Gainesville?
Yes, sir.
Now, this don't belong to look that way right there, stick it up that way, but I'm going to have to cut that a little more to make it not look like it's way too long. If it lie back, go back like this side,
yeah,
like that
yeah.
side. It would.
It, I don't know. It won't do it.
Now, hey, but one way you can do it is just to me to cut that a little short there. I would put something back on you again. Let it go down your neck. I don't know.
Oh, that's all right. Just let it go. It don't matter about that.
Well, let me get that a little bit shorter right there. I was aiming to check
no, sir,
out where I go.
You is the only one who could all in it. Never seen any trouble to him at all. You ain't.
I knew him. He's a barber. He's a good barber.
Oh, he was a nice fella, Mr.
Yeah, Hugh Edge is a fine fella.
He was a nice fella.
You know Tom Martin up there?
No, he was the only one I know. And Kenny Sims. you and Kenny were in the same shop.
Uh-huh.
That's how I happened to know them, too.
I used to know every barbers up there, but now they got several barbershops. Now a lot of them. I don't know. It used to not be but two.
Yeah. Kenny Sims. Kenny Sims is a Georgia boy, and he is really nice. But you know what happened to him?
What?
Well,
now that looks a lot better now.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver, what happened to him. He was so much better barber than the others, he couldn't get anybody to stay with him. Everybody who come in the shop would wait for him.
Yeah, it's like that man that I tell you that I learned how to cut up and around. He had about five or six barbers in there. And he run the back chair. Well, I always waited on him.
Yeah.
And a lot of other people waited on him. He never was. He was always busy.
Yeah.
When what time he went in that side, he'd be busy through the week unless he'd walk out to let the other barbers have. Now, we do that. He'd make an open. I could never get nobody to hold a business like I could.
Yeah.
I don't like to say that, but I sound like bragging, but that was right.
Yeah.
I'd get barbers, and Mr. Wynn, the man I worked for, he couldn't build it up.
Yeah.
When I went to work here now, after I got my hands kind of tended up, I soon began to pick it up a little
bit. Well, let me tell you, Kenny got, he was a pretty serious fella in a way, but he's a big talker. And you just love to talk with him. He's nice.
All those fellas were. You take Tom Martin up there and now a fella cut mine most in Gainesville was Hardy. He died last year, and I used to, that's in Tom Martin's shop. Mm. He used to be over there. He used to be Pervats.
Yeah.
Pervats Barbershop. Back over there, and then they eventually sold out and got a clothing store over there now.
Let me tell you, Mr. Weaver. Kenny Sims, when Governor Wallace was running that first time,
uh-huh.
He was a strong Wallace man. And they'd come from all over town there, get a haircut, talk politics with him.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't mind, he talked with everybody. Talk politics, you know. Some believe the way he did and some didn't. I've been in there a time or two when some of them would sort of bait him, sort of ill-humored, but very seldom.
Well, when
you
a barber, you've got to go along with your customers a little bit.
Well,
if you don't like
a little
it, you
bit,
don't
yeah.
Right.
But by and large, they were going along with him, you see.
Yeah,
on,
and they were going along with him, too. Your customer got to go along with him. So
yeah.
Then I used to do this. I don't like telling you too much. I guess you think I don't know, do nothing but brag all the time. But I used to do this, you know. If I was kind of poor thing and I found out you were a little bit poor, you know, I'd go to putting up points against you, you know.
Yeah.
And then you'd tell me maybe all these points that I could catch that I wanted to find out about.
And
if I'd argue just a little bit and get you started telling me, I just shut up and wouldn't say no more, and then just like me, you talking here, you know,
yeah.
And I get tired of talking, and I do all the talking. I don't learn nothing. You learn it. If it's good, you learn it. If it's bad, you learn it.
Did you ever work that on Mr. Boyd?
Mr. Boyd, you didn't say Mr. Boyd, no way. I just let Mr. Boyd go because Mr. Boyd, mine is bad.
Well, it wasn't to start with.
Well, it wasn't way back yonder.
No.
But back then, he was so busy and I was, we didn't have time to discuss nothing much.
Oh, you know, I never did talk back then.
Not much then. After he got to where his mind was bad, he'd come and I was sick too, you see.
Yeah.
I was at the house.
Well, I know, but back then when he was
He was busy all the time. And when he was busy, he had a large family and he had to work hard. Mr. Boyd,
did you know that house down there? Don't you know the old 441 sort of ran into it? It's a big old two-story house that burned, and I forget the name of the house. But Mr. Boyd had a still upstairs.
He did.
Well, you know all
I
about
never,
that.
No, I never heard
and
about this, that.
And he had so much mash up there that the fire was so hot that it just melted all the glass and everything in the whole house.
Let's see, was that four to one runs up in there?
Yeah.
And it burned down a few years ago and a nigger lived in it?
I don't know.
Right there.
Mr. Boyd lived in it when it burned down, and he's making whiskey upstairs.
I don't remember about that. That must happen before I came here sometime.
No, it happened in
well,
the
30s. I don't remember. There have been so many houses burned down there.
Yeah.
And he's making it upstairs.
Oh, he's
no, I never did buy it. See, I didn't drink. I never did drink any much.
He never talked to you about things.
No,
like
he
that.
Didn't talk to me about alcohol. I didn't drink, you know, and I'd always be, when I'd see him, he'd come in to get at the barbershop or see me if I was selling produce. He'd come in unloading. He'd go on, and if I had sold any of his stuff, I paid him, and he went on. And see, he was as busy with both of us. We didn't have time.
Yeah.
See, I had about sometimes I had as many as 40 men working me in one day.
Yeah.
Well, I had to keep up all these books, do all this book work, you know.
He never did talk about
not much moonshine. If he ever made a drop, now I heard he did, and that's all.
Yeah.
I never known it. He never had offered me a drink, and I never have.
Well, I don't know how he disposed of it. He might not have disposed of it himself, you know.
What did he tell you about that?
No.
Well, you hit may not be right then.
Oh, yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'll tell you several people told me, but I'll tell you one person that told me,
mm-hmm.
and that's his old neighbor out there who still lives out there.
He does?
Yes, sir. Oh, Woodard Coleman.
Well, Woodard ought to know.
Woodard knows.
Oh, and Woodard Coleman's pretty honest, too.
Yeah.
You know that? You can depend on him pretty well.
You had business with him?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I bought fur from and handled his produce and sold his produce and when I was in produce business for about 10 years, you know, they'd all break their down and set it down and tell me to sell it for. I was running a commission house, you know. Sometimes the truck drivers give me the money, you know, and tell me to go out and buy it. Well, I just went out there and paid the farmers right in the field and looked to check them. Truck drivers would go to sleep. They'd get me to buy the load. Pay me my commission and I'd tell the farmers, I said, now this truck driver give me the money to buy your stuff, and I'm having to work between you all. I said, I don't like to have all this responsibility of both ways, but I said, I got it. And I said, he told me not to pay on so much for it, and that's all I can give you. And he said he'd pay me my commission. I wouldn't take commission both ways. I'd been stealing.
Yeah.
If I sell your stuff and that truck driver pay me the commission, my regular commission, and I went out to your farm and got your stuff, and I charged you then for selling it to the truck driver and charged him for buying it,
yeah.
I'd be stealing half that commission.
Yeah.
Well, now, a lot of produce dealers did do that.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you right now, I didn't try that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I had to, when I quit, I had a good reputation, by the way, that I didn't owe nobody and didn't beat nobody.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted. When I quit, when I got to where they quit going enough to run the police business, I had to quit and go to doing something else. I went back to carpentering then.
Is your radio doing all right now?
Mine? It don't play too good. It's about worn out.
Well, now, a lot of times, fresh batteries will pick it up, Mr. Wheeler.
Well, I guess they would, but I had it about 2 years ago. I had it worked over, and the fellow told me it cheap one. See, I just paid $19 something for it.
$19?
And I had
nothing
about
cheap
10.
About that.
Huh?
What's cheap about that?
Well, they're about 35 and 40 now, I like it.
Oh, you can do better than that.
Buying a new one?
You know, Mamu has that little, your time for you to go?
Let me see, nearly 9 o'clock. I'll try to retire about 9:30 and 10 o'clock. Go to sleep.
Well, I hate to see you run off, but we can, we enjoy the visit.
Well, I didn't even say how long I've been here.
Let me see. I think I'm out of.
I think I've got over this.
What? Yes.
Let this go on that.
I had to buy some more.
You did.
$4. That last $4 that I had.
Where did you get this? Did you order it or buy it here?
Let me tell you, I've been getting it. I got that the very shortest. You know, there's a veterinary right up there on South Main.
South Main? Uh-huh. Yeah, I know that one. Now, just before you
well,
get in again.
I just on a long shot. I called up there and asked him if he had that.
And he had it.
And the girl looked and said he had it. And I said to him, "Now this, your vet don't go out and handle cattle. What does he use it for?" Well, he says he's racing dogs.
Racing dogs.
Uh huh. They got calluses on their feet.
Yeah.
And
what did he
do for? Yes.
Yeah. And he put that on there to that's all she has.
Well, listen, I said, "Hell, keep that on these clippers. I want you all to take out for that."
Oh no. Well, you ready to take care of that.
Well, listen, I want you all to help you all.
And he put it on those dogs. They would get...
Their feet get cut. Yeah, that's
cut,
good for them.
And that would soften them up a little bit. I don't know what makes that so sticky.
Well, that's sealed.
Yeah.
And it seals it up and keeps you killed the germ that's in there.
Yeah.
There's any germ or parasite in there or anything, this will
well,
tear it up and kill it.
Let me tell you, that, I still got that cow up there with a pretty little heifer calf.
Yeah.
And you know what she did? She is the first one that has caught that hoof disease from that dry land up there. They say it's contagious. And she caught it right up there on that dry land. You see, I took my cows off.
Off the prairie down there?
Yeah, when the several of them had it, you see.
Uh-huh.
And they just spread the disease out there.
Well,
and she
go.
Got it. And you know the reason I'm keeping her up there? That little heifer calf is the cutest thing you ever saw.
Well, I'll be darned.
Growing.
Well, she's a good-sized cow and a fine, developed cow. And she's at the age... That she about middle age, isn't she?
Yeah.
You know, they're brain calves. I know, I've seen them brain calves till they're 14 years old.
Yeah.
And I've heard of them being 22.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
But I didn't know. I don't know. Some of them don't go that long. But they're really nice.
I'm just keeping them up there. Of course, I like that little heifer calf.
Yeah.
And you see, if I let her out there with the others,
she'll
run off. Well, a little heifer calf will run off with it and learn bad tricks from the other calves.
Yeah.
This way, she don't know any bad tricks.
That's right.
And she'll come right up to you.
That's right.
And treat you just like you was a calf, I
and
guess.
And you just be a buddy.
Yeah.
You just like that wild bobcat. Now, I can go up there and I can feed you. I fed it some mackerel the other night. And by the way, it eat it right in front of me. And it hadn't been caught 2 weeks. And I done got it that day. But now a stranger comes up there and one walk on outside over your man, she'll raise side. Every time anything moves, she'll slap at it. But if I go up there by myself and nothing behind it, she done learned me, you see. Bobcat,
yeah.
And they're shrewd. But they can't stand, when they stop to fight a dog and run, some big old male cats will just, they'll run so long, then they'll just back up again. Something misses whenever a dog comes up, they'll slap the paw out of it. They do it this way, you see, stand on his feet. Well, the dog don't do that, you know, and he's not wise to that till he learned how to do it. And the way a cat does, he'll wow, and he grabs a miss first, you see, and they're looking at his mouth. Watching his mouth to get that, and he catches them this way and pulls them down, and he grabs them with his mouth and bites them. Then he first gets them with this, and he takes them up this way and just jerk them down to him and grabs them with his mouth then.
And chew on them.
Yeah, and it beat the dog to it. Well, now it takes a gritty dog to just keep on. I seen one dog, the first one he ever got a hold of. He caught him right away. And he kept mashing down till he got it to shoot and choked it to death. One dog killed a 25-pound cat by himself. And he'd never had a hold of one. Because I bought him in Alabama up there where they didn't have any. And I brought him down here and let him have a friend of mine have him. And I told him, I said, that dog would kill a cat. He was bragging about something he had there. I said, they won't kill a cat. That cat will hurt him.
Yeah.
Well, when I heard the dogs catch it, and some of my young dogs, a year old, it caught it of mine. I heard him hollering, here's my dogs. And the news of dogs, he had some young dogs stay to them, and these others run around trying to, one of his dogs trying to stay ahead of the rest of them, kept running scattered. And these young dogs weren't but a year old, they didn't know the problem of these other dogs. The other one caught the cat, or when I got there, he had my dog this way, looking this way, backed up again. Better when I run up. And when I run up there, I was going to help my dog, and he turned my dog loose, and he went back, and I just stood there. Here come one of these dogs, Mr. Keel, thought of such a fighter. He run up that old cat, just grabbed him this way right quick and beat him. When they turned him loose, the blood just flew, and the dog left with his tail between his legs, and you couldn't get him back up there. About that time, the old cat sitting back up there ready for another one. His other dog he'd been bragging on come up, and he done him the same way, and he got loose and run. All right, he set up there, you know, and sitting out this way, and this big trig dog that I bought from a cousin in Alabama, and let him have him. When he come up there, he just reached out and grabbed him out of the way. He grabbed my dog out of the way. He didn't know to dodge it either. He'd never pulled a guy. He grabbed him out of the way and pulled him down to the bottom. He went to going on down, and directly was snorting, directly hollered a little bit and started to give back. But he kept baring. He was a big, strong dog. And he kept baring on until he got him in the soup. He did. He killed the cat. I stood right there and watched him. But my young dog that the cat had when I got there, when he got away, he didn't ever come back. Because he was a young walker dog, and he was the one who struck the cat and jumped it by himself. And that cat really bit him. And I just got him trained good, and he was a registered dog. And oh, he was a fine dog, someone for him in my dog yard.
Say, I wish it wasn't so late. We could just go back there.
I'd like to see, though.
53 Chevy and powder and visit with them calves and powder them cows.
I guess we ought to go back there with them cows.
Well, listen, I started to come over here.
Yeah.
I started to come over here last night, and it's getting so late, and I said, well, Saturday night, lots of times they have company, and I said, I'll wait.
Why do we have company on Saturday night?
Well, sometimes, you know, somebody comes out here, you know, or did come out here. I don't know. It's none of my business how many come, you know. But, I don't like to come out here and interrupt company.
This is some fresh, cooked, real smooth salt ham.
Well, I be dog. You need... why don't you get that little dog of Frank's and keep it out here a while? He wants to give it away.
What is that?
Skunk.
Well, what makes him do that?
Coming up here, get hunting feed and being around your place, and they may even, if you don't have a dog here, you're going to raise young ones under your house.
Well, but what makes him
Well, they get scared, you know.
What's he scared of? Nothing out there.
I know, but if any little thing goes wrong, they're going to sow that musk.
Just keep that out in the air.
Then they get mad and get to fighting each other.
Oh, do
they? Yeah.
Now, last night, maybe
that time.
Last night, last night, Mr. Weaver, we sweep upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
It come in that upstairs window just like this, just as strong as it could be.
That, you're going to get in the house, close your door.
That burning thing I ever saw. They must be a little colony out under there.
Yeah, there, and they go in droves, you know, about this time of year.
No.
And they get mad. They get mad and get to fighting.
Oh.
You mean the whole family out in the
world? Yeah, there's different ones, you know, and it's mating time, you see, and they go over there, just go around and they happen to come around.
Oh.
And then if anybody happens or something else comes around out there, a little noise right close to them and it scares them, mm-hmm. They'll do that then, anytime. My dogs barked at them. My dog was trying to get away from the cats and it all tied up there that night. And I went out there two or three times. And I never could hold that line and shoot and kill a cat. And then I went over to some niggers' houses. And one of them got up there and called his brother, and he came over with a shotgun and shot it. One come out about 3 or 4 years ago, where I live now.
Yeah.
And went to around everywhere every dog I had was hunting feed, you know. Some of the dogs didn't need a dog.
Oh.
when you feed it. And if you happen to hold a little scrap out or to drop one or feed a cat or something like that, or somebody.
Well, he didn't go.
And he comes up here, he'll come up here and catch rats. They may be up here catching rats. They'll do that. They're good riders.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can get a small one and the cat is running there, and he can fix it for you. You can just pet it here and makes a pretty pet you ever seen. Don't be a rat or left around the place. They make a good pet. But you won't get them small and cat them running there first.
Yeah.
And people, they make good riders. Well, I got to go and I'll see y'all and thank you and I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Mr. Weaver.
Did I bring my ID in? This yours or mine? No, this is yours. I meant to, but I don't believe I did.
Channel 2 over, the end of Channel 2 over, and the end of the visit, Mr. Weaver, this barbering visit, this Sunday after supper, the 5th of March, 1972. Channel 2 over, towards the end, almost to the end of Channel 2 over, and the end of visit, Mr. Weaver, this barbering session, this Sunday after supper, the 5th of March, 1972. Channel 2 over. The end of Channel 2 over and the end of the visit of Mr. Weaver. This Sunday after supper, the 5th of March, 72.